try to treat my neighbor right. Every time I try to help someone along the way, Satan get right there in my way. I tell him, move,
move,
Satan,
Satan,
I want you to move,
move,
Satan,
Satan,
I want you to get back out of my way. Every time I try to do right, every time I try to treat my neighbor right, every time I try to help someone along the way, Satan gets right there in my way. I tell him, move,
move,
oh yeah,
Satan,
move,
move,
Satan,
Satan,
I want you to get back out of my way. Every time I look around, Satan is trying to keep the Christian down. Every time I try to do my very best, that's the time I stand my hardest test. I want you to move,
move,
Satan,
Satan,
I want you to move,
move,
Satan,
Satan,
I want you to get back out of my way. I want you to move,
move,
Satan,
Satan,
move,
move,
Satan, I wanna talk to you a little while.
Move,
Satan,
Satan,
here's what I want you to do, Satan.
Move,
I want you to move,
Satan,
out of my home.
Move,
I want you to move,
Satan,
from my job.
Move,
I want you to move,
Satan,
out of my church.
Move,
I want you to move,
Satan,
out of my neighborhood.
Satan,
I want you to move,
move,
yeah,
Satan,
Satan,
move,
I want you to move,
Satan,
move, oh yeah,
Satan,
I want you to get back,
move,
get back, get back,
Satan,
get back out of my way,
move,
Satan,
Satan,
you can't stop.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
I was 16 years old when I got my last whooping. And it's all Dill's fault. My daddy used to cut his, her daddy's grass. And he was going over there one evening, he said, now, Greg, meet me over there, bring them gas cans. I'm gonna cut that grass after we get off work today. And you know, Dill lived across the by. She's just a little girl. She lived across the by, and you know, I could see where the truck come around the corner. I said, well, I'll wait till I see Daddy get around the corner, and then I'll just take the gas can over there, and by the time he get everything out of the truck, you know, I'll be there with the gas can, because I'll be there in, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. Well, I kept on, I was playing, having a good time. And every night I'd look over there and I'd say, the old truck ain't coming. I wonder what happened to Daddy. Well, he took another route. He went the other way that I wasn't counting on, so he's sitting there waiting. I didn't see no truck coming. Then I saw that truck coming from where Dill lived. I said, oh, Lord. That truck was flying. I'm going to tell you, you know, I saw him on the other side of the bar. I went and got the gas. Before I could get out of the yard, the truck was there. All the way down, across the bridge and there. And, you know, he used to slow down. When you go pull up in the yard and put it in low gear, that time just went vroom, right up in the yard. And I was running with that gas can. I said, oh, Dad, I'm on the way, Dad. I was just on the way. He went and pulled a limb off that apple tree. I had some short cut off blue jean pants on. I can't tell you what he said. I'll tell you what he did. He tore my tail up is what he did. I thought I was bad. I'm 16. I'm bigger than him, stronger than him now. I play football. I'm too big for a whooping. He can't do nothing but fuss now. He sure surprised me that day. Broke skin on me. I still got the scars. My daddy said that's the mark of a man. See, I made a man out you, boy. Every time you look at him, remember, I made a man out you. Wouldn't even let me come help him cut the grass after that. Snatched them gas cans from me and took off. And I couldn't wait for Mama to get home. I said, I'm going to tell Mama, I said, I'm going to show Mama this scar right here, what Daddy did, how Daddy broke my skin, got me bleeding and stuff. I said, Mama, look what Daddy did. She said, that's good for you. Should have got you worse than that. See, Mama will turn on you. I'm off all off the subject here. Talking about a diligent man. You know, he meant business. He was running. He wasn't walking. Proverbs 15:19 says, the way of the slothful man is like a hedge of thorns. It pricks, lacerates, and entangles him, which means it's painful and progress is hindered. Can you imagine yourself getting caught in a thicket of thorns? How slow your progress would be. How you wouldn't be able to run. How you'd have to take it a little bit at a time. That's what happened when you let that slothfulness go to work in you. You want to do things and you want to move out, but you got thorns and thickets all around you and you're all entangled up in stuff and you can't move and make progress. It's the danger of slothfulness. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19:24 says, a slothful man will take food to his hand but will not lift it to his mouth. Means he got enough energy to put the food on the fork and just look at it. He said, I sure am hungry. But he too lazy to raise it up to his mouth. I'm gonna tell you, Solomon had some wisdom. He saw all of this. Proverbs 24 said, the sluggard will make an excuse for not working, but will beg during harvest time and will have nothing. When you see everybody else blessed, then they try to you got that blessing. God sure been good to you. Won't you spread some of the blessing around? That's why I tell people, look, you work hard. God bless you with an occupation, a job. You earn your money. And then you got all these lazy relatives that won't work. Every time you got a payday, they fine you. You need to cut them off. That's your increase. They'll get mad if you take a day off. How come you ain't at work today? You know your check gonna be short? Man, what's that to you, man? Yeah, count your money. Cause you're an extension of them. They're dependent on you to bring it in. Bible has a lot to say about it. Proverbs 24:30-31 says, a lazy person lacks understanding or common sense, does not take care of the things God's blessed him with, is unkept. His life is filled with thorns, covered with weeds and broken down things. Because of a little more sleep, a little more slumber, a little more folding of the hands of sleep. Poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Proverbs 26, 13, and 14 says, the slothful or the lazy makes excuses and turns on his bed like the door on his hinges. Some lazy people got hinges on them. They just turn over and turn over just like they got a hinge on them. The Lord wants to eradicate that out of our lives so that we can be productive, so we can be fruitful, so we can accomplish what's in his heart and mind. You can't do it with slothfulness and being lazy. Amen. Some people don't want to work. They're afraid of long hours of hard work. And sometimes doing God's will, taking care of your family, providing for your family, sometimes you pay a price for it physically. But God gives you the strength to do it. Amen. He gives you grace for that. I remember when Pastor Little was, I asked him a little bit about his trip to Israel. He said, we took that drive from Jerusalem to Jericho. He said, it was 60 miles. And Jesus walked it. He wasn't lazy at all. He was so energetic, people had to try to keep up with him. He was in one place, then he was in another, and they trying to, where he gone? Man, he was just here. He gone. Enthusiastic about doing what his father wanted him to do. I mean, he was not a lazy man. He had no slothfulness in him at all. There was nothing slow about Jesus. He was always moving, always productive. And that's the way he wants his body to be. That's the way he wants you to be. Amen. Another characteristic of the slope is that they think they're wiser than wise men. They deceive themselves. Amen. Praise God. So you say, Pastor, how do I deal with slothfulness if it's creeped into my life? First thing you have to do is you have to acknowledge, you know what? I done let slothfulness creep into my life. Now, you don't have to be a lazy person to have slothfulness creep in your life. Because slothfulness really just talks about being slow and dull and unexcited. And it's about an attitude of the heart, the way you get an attitude where you just don't care and you just let things go. And, you know, you just don't have that edge, that sharpness like you do. And you can be a hard worker and someone that don't mind working. And you can still develop attitudes on the inside that would be slothful in nature that would hinder your productivity in God. The way you're not running your race, you're walking it. And you're working hard while you're walking. But you're supposed to be running. And God always gives the grace that you need to run your race. He always supplies everything you need. So you're not out there by yourself. You keep your eyes on Jesus. And you run your race with patience. Amen? So you have to really examine yourself and you say, you know, if I've allowed slothfulness to creep in any way in my life, then you just need to repent. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've allowed slothfulness to creep into my life. I haven't been as diligent as I should be. And Lord, I want that out of my life. Please forgive me. And the Lord will forgive you. And then if you'll say, now, Lord, work in me now a fervent spirit, a diligent spirit. And then when your flesh rises up, because you're going to have to deal with your flesh, because flesh loves laziness and slothfulness. Flesh don't like to move. You know, if you didn't have some internal motivation, would nobody go to work? If you would just let your body tell you every morning whether you're going or not, but there would be a lot of people not at work, hardly ever, would never go to work. Show up on payday. Oh, we got to go to work. They payday. Oh, payday right around the corner. Let's go. Got to be there on payday when they pass the checkout. But if you ain't been working, you ain't going to get nothing but a little bit. You can observe your life and look around you and say,